For SP Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 30th Torino Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. And today I'm honored and very happy to be with Dean Francis, who's here in competition with his Drown. Welcome. Thank you for being with me and with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
So, before getting to the film, you told us when we met like 2 days ago that this festival kind of discovered you and let you embrace your directing life.
Yes, well, the year was 1999, and I was this repressed gay teenager in Australia, and I made this really angry Super 8 film, which I was almost too scared to show anyone, because it was very personal. And I sent it here to Torino, I don't know why, actually, and I couldn't believe it when I got in the mail the festival program, and they had selected the film. It was a short film, and literally opening that package and seeing my film screening across the world, that is what inspired me to actually keep going and become a director. So it's very amazing to be back, like, all these years later with a feature.
Plus, it might be a cliche, but as I was telling Angelo, heart can really save your life sometimes, so...
Look, absolutely, definitely. And I mean, that's very much why I started making films, because I could not express myself in my community. And of course, then as my career developed, I obviously started to do more commercial stuff. So Drown is very much a return to a very personal form of filmmaking. And it's starting a discussion, particularly in Australia, that I think really needs to happen. So when art can actually have some impact on public discourse and hopefully on society, I think that's what it's all about.
Would you give our listeners a brief introduction of Drown?
Okay, well, Drown is set in the very sunny, bright world of Sydney's beaches. It deals with a surf lifesaver who is a typical Australian hero. He's incredibly homophobic, and a young, very cute, new surf lifesaver joins the club, wins the championship, and our protagonist is thrown into this enormous turmoil because he starts to realize that he has feelings for this younger male surf lifesaver, which is very taboo in their cloistered world.
The film, as you said, is very personal, but still it's based on a theater play. So what did you like, what did it hit you about the theater play that made you want to portray that story? And particularly you said that it's just a part of the play that it's portrayed in the film.
Yeah, well, the play itself was based on an experience which the playwright Stephen Davis had witnessed when he was a teenager. And unfortunately, it was an instance of bullying and homophobia and violence. And unfortunately, that's a fairly common experience for gay teenagers, I think, in Australia. So I can relate to it on that level. But I think for me it was the detail with which the characters were drawn in the play and the subtext around the words that provoked so many questions for me. I wanted to find out why these characters were doing these awful things to one another, because it does get horrifically violent, you know, psychologically speaking. I wanted to find out what it was that was motivating them to act that way. So I looked and kind of created the last year of their lives together. I looked into their childhood. Some of those stories were told verbally by the characters in the play, and I brought them to life through imagery. But I suppose what I brought into it was really Phil. I suppose I sort of saw myself as the Phil character. And in the play, he didn't really say anything. He was unconscious for the whole time. So I suppose Phil is me in the film, perhaps.
That's wrong. I was thinking that Len, the other character, is you sort of show or let us understand why he's acting in a way, why he knows so much violence. He evidently he grew up with a typical father that wants you to be what he thinks that the real man should be. So it kind of makes you understand that when you're giving violence and we're acting violently, that's the only way Len can express himself. I know it's a strong thing, but still, it's the only reason I found for his behavior.
Mm. Well, absolutely. We are socialized to associate masculinity with strength, force, and violence, and particularly in Australia. And it's interesting because a lot of our scenes around the nightclub area on the streets are filmed in a place in Sydney called King's Cross, and that in recent years has been known as a very violent place where a number of times people have just punched, like guys have just punched one another, and often just it takes one punch and someone will fall down and hit their head and die, and there have been a lot of deaths, which is just drunk street violence. And it's testosterone, it's like, you looked at my girlfriend wrong, you called me a faggot, you know, it's like ridiculous stuff like that, which, you know, it does get answered in violence. And there's a real problem with how we raise boys, you know, how we actually think about the definition of man. And I think that's what the film tries to get at. I think, you know, the film would need to be a lot longer to completely explore that topic. But it's also interesting because I think a lot of those issues are quite familiar to Australian audiences, because we see that very much as part of the male character. And it's, of course, interesting to compare that to the reaction of Italians, because I think Italian masculinity might be similar, but it might be different.
No, I was actually thinking about that before that people asked you that question during the Q&A, because, yes, we don't have the figure, the image of the male, the blonde male, but besides that, we have the, like, dark, tall man, masculine, you know, looking at girls and hooking up with so many girls as possible. So that is very similar. So, and everything coming out from that is what brings violence and brings confusion. And this, in this case, I think it could be also a very Italian film. I mean, in this case, I think we can relate to the film.
Well, I mean, I've only been in Torino for a few days. But
yeah,
I love
so this south where I come from.
Well, you know, we're walking around the streets at night, you know, you see, you know, like these, like, drunk, you know, lads, like, you know, teenage boys, you know, very boisterous. And I mean, you know, it looks like they're having a lot of fun, but I think, you know, yeah, there's definitely like a male, like, there's a thing about men getting together and drinking that, you know, can potentially always tip into darkness.
Do you think that is something changing? I mean, for example, here in Italy, even though we still have a lot to fight for, as you know, still, at least in some parts of the culture, a new image, a new figure of a male, of a homo man is coming up. They feel free, or at least more free to express their feminine side. So something is changing. So I was asking you if something is changing also in Australia.
Yes, I do. And in fact, to the point where... Yeah, well, you know, when I was shooting the film, I almost worried whether, like, it was almost going to be outdated, you know, because I wondered whether this was still such an issue. But then when we went out and we filmed in these surf lifesaving clubs in the outer suburbs, we saw so much homophobia, so much... We ourselves got bullied as a film crew. We got harassed by the cops during Mardi Gras. The police were beating up people at the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras in 2013, you know... blatant homophobic violence. So there is definitely a long way to go. You know, things have changed. I remember when I was a child, my dad would take me to the football, and it was very common to hear the spectators calling out "faggot," you know, etc. If that happens now, like, that wouldn't be allowed now. You know, and that sort of thing is changing. And you know, in Australia, there's been a couple of news stories where, in fact, there was one very sad one where it was actually a 12-year-old girl made I think it was a racial slur or a homophobic slur to a footballer, like in public, and it was this everyone was horrified. So yes, I mean, people are not accepting as much homophobia, but we still have a long way to go.
And talking about the feminine side, we talked about in the film, you show that there's this metaphor, this meek metaphor of Len, one of the protagonists, not saving the life of this woman and then finally saving her without spoiling too much. And because you represented his feminine side with this woman. So why this choice? Was there something about that in the theatre play, or just something of Dean Francis?
No, this was definitely in the play. It was a story that Len tells on the beach at night. And absolutely, Stephen, the playwright, and I discussed this a lot, and we absolutely decided that that was his feminine side that he was unable to embrace. But for me, I suppose in the adaptation, maybe I saw it as well, that it's actually to do with his impotence. or you know, he sees his same-sex attraction as impotence. He sees that he is unable to fulfill the expectations that are placed upon him, which in that case are that he's a lifesaver. There's a drowning woman. He's supposed to save her. He fails. So it's another layer to his sense of not feeling like a complete person, and that's where the trouble, of course, begins.
What about the editing, which was one of the things I loved the most, because it was a very strong film, and but still it was, I don't know if I can say that, entertaining. Mm-hmm. It sort of leaves you with a lot of questions, but still entertaining. So I had fun, let's say. I can say that. Can I?
Oh, no, look, I'm really pleased you say that. I mean, that was... Yeah, no, look, that was a very hard balance to get. And, I mean, dealing with subject matter that's so dark, you know, and you could see in the screening, like, people were reacting really physically to some of the violence. If you just have relentless violence and everything, you're never going to be able to watch the film. You know, it would just be too much. So I wanted to create... Like, I see movies in the same way you might say as like a rock concert, you know, or a theme park ride. I mean, all these are visceral experiences that must work on so many different sensory levels, and you've got to really use the tools of cinema to engage the viewer. And I'm really pleased to say that you sort of found that the journey was, you know, was yeah, enjoyable. I mean, I still have my little... It's weird, you know. I think I've seen the film, obviously, a lot of times, but there's still a couple of bits in it where I just don't get sick of watching them, you know. It's like, yeah, you know.
There are some films that are very good, are very strong, but still you can watch them once, mm-hmm. and then it's stronger than you. You cannot watch them, go through that again. Mm-hmm. I could definitely watch your film again.
Mm. Well, it's interesting because I hope that if you did watch it again, you might see other aspects about it, because I think there are a number of levels to it, and it can be interpreted in numerous ways, I think.
Speaking of that, I wanted to ask you, now that you're at your second screening year, and is there something that the Italian audience or some people noticed about your film that you haven't thought about?
So I don't know. I think look, the big comment that I think we always get is around the protagonist. One woman approached me just before, and she said she hated Len and she didn't have any empathy for him at all. Now, I think it's very reasonable to hate Len. Other people have said they hated Len, but they empathized and felt a great deal of sadness for him because they could understand his predicament. I could be wrong, I'm sitting in a dark room, but I feel like the violence had a greater impact here in Italy. I feel like people were more physically impacted by it than maybe they were in Australia. Although it's tough, that those scenes. I mean, so I don't know, yeah.
So, Dean, congratulations for letting me watch this great film. I wish you the best, and obviously good luck, because you're in competition.
Thank you so much, and I really appreciate you watching it, and thank you for having me on your show.
And this is Chiara Nicoletti from the Torino Gay and Lesbian Film Festival for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.